Okay.
Understood.
Okay, cool. So let's get started. Let me just make sure that everybody that's here is here. Just quickly double check. Yep. Okay.
Okay, that's not too far. That's how much is that?
Crap. It's about an 8-hour drive. It's not terrible.
Oh, I mean, it's also not too far from where I grew up.
Oh, okay. Got it. Got it. I guess
it's
right.
It's probably
closer to where you grew up than to Atlanta. Let's put it that way.
Oh, are you doing the drive in one day?
Yeah. We left at 6 o'clock, 6:15.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a hefty drive.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think the longest one I made was. Remember, I did Atlanta to Orlando in a day, and that was, I started getting really tired at the end.
Yeah, I actually don't mind driving long distances. I've driven to New York straight, like 14, 15 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, whatever, you know, it's like, for me it works, but I know it doesn't work for everybody. Okay, so let's jump in. I don't know that I'm able to, actually, maybe I can, see if this works. See if we can do a little screen share action. Hold on. Let's see if this is going to work. We pull up. Yeah. We are not, definitely not doing breakout rooms. Okay. Here we go. Let's do this. Let's see if this is going to work. Okay. Now.
Oh.
Bum bum bum. Let's start. Okay, can you guys see my screen?
Yep.
Is that a yay or nay?
Oh, yay.
Fantastic. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to just scroll here. I'm not going to read this, but we're going to get this going.
So you need to keep your eyes on the road.
The eyes are definitely on the road. Thank God I have my trusty, my sidekicks here to help me. Okay, so I'm going to share with you a few ideas. I don't know that we're going to be advancing like the text too much, but here's the deal. There's three topics that I want to share with you. So number one is with regards to the passing of Miriam. So of course, there were three members of the family. We have Miriam is the oldest sister. Then there's Aaron, who's the older brother, and Moshe, who is the baby of the family. Of course, we know Moshe is no small potatoes in his family, and of course for our people. But that's what's going on with that family. And essentially, what happens at this point in the Torah's narrative is that Miriam passes away. And when Miriam passes away, the Torah tells us that suddenly the people are thirsty, the well runs dry. What's the meaning of this? Why does the well run dry? So the Midrash explains, the Talmud explains, that there were three primary miracles that happened when the Jews were traveling in the wilderness. Number one, they had food from heaven, manna from heaven. Number two, they were protected by clouds of glory. Those were the clouds that protected them as they traveled, traversed the desert. And number three, they had a well of water that traveled with them, providing them all the water, all the drinks, and other hydration that they needed throughout their journeys. So each one came in the merit of another member of this family. It says that it was in the merit of Moses. It was, give me one second. It was in the merit of Moses that the manna fell. It was in the merit of Aaron, the clouds of glory that the people. And it was in the merit of, and it was in the merit of Miriam that the well came. So when Miriam passes away, the well water stops, and the people start complaining. They say, "Oh, we need water." This is not the first time they complained about water, but there's definitely the water complaint. And there's a beautiful commentary that says the following: you know, when a leader passes away, when a tzaddik, when a righteous person passes away, in this case, it was Miriam, who was a prophet, there should be a mourning and in a state of togetherness, collectively mourning. And instead, what happened? Instead, the people turn to fighting and complaining and fetching about water. And here we have a powerful, it's somewhat of an indictment of that, of the people, but it's more than an indictment. It's a cautionary note about the nature of human beings. And that is very often, or sometimes it could be after the passing of a loved one, the passing of a parent. So either the kids could come together and can work together and to be in a state of peace, or there can be discord and disharmony and disunity and a sense of fighting. So the Torah is giving us a cautionary note and telling us, look, somebody, a leader passes away, someone beloved to us passes away, we have two choices. We can either come together or we can split apart. We can come together in a state of love and togetherness, or we can split apart, discord, disharmony, and disunity. And that's what happened with the people. Which takes me to the next part of the story, which is that God tells Moses, if they want water, here's how to get water. Take your staff, go to a rock, and speak to the rock, and the rock will produce water. Well, we know the famous ending of the story, or the tragic ending of the story, is that Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, instead he hits the rock. And the Torah says he hits it twice, and the water comes out, and now they have water. And it seems like the story has a happy ending. The water dried up with the passing of Miriam. It was in her merit that they had the water in the first place. When she dies, it dries up. Now Moses hits the rock a few times. The water comes out, which is a miracle unto itself. You would think we have a happy ending to the story. And yet, our sages tell us, not so fast. Not a happy ending to the story at all. In fact, it was a big mistake. It was considered to be a sin of Moses. Why? Because like I mentioned before a moment ago, God had told Moses not to hit the rock, but to speak to the rock. So God says, because you hit the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, you're going to pass away, the wanderers of the 40 years of wandering, you're going to pass away with this generation, and you will not lead the people into the land of Israel. Now, a few points. That's the story in the Torah. A few things to focus on. Number one, that seems like a severe punishment for a small infraction. Like, what's the difference between speaking to the rock or hitting a rock? Either way, you're producing water. Either way, it's kind of miraculous. Either way, it's amazing. So is there really a fundamental difference between the two? Is there really something something so outrageously wrong with hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock? Either way, it produced water. So what's the problem? It's question number one. Question number two is, well, why did Moses hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock? If God told him to speak to the rock, why didn't he speak? Why did he hit? So I want to share with you one idea. And I have another idea that I'm not going to share with you, because I'm going to share that with you tomorrow night at our Torah studies class, the Wednesday night Torah class. So the second idea will be for tomorrow night, but one idea right now. Rashi says, the primary biblical commentary, the basic biblical commentary, Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, he writes that the difference between hitting the rock and speaking to the rock to produce the water is that had he spoken to the rock, it would have been a lesson for the people. What would the lesson have been? Look, even a rock listens to God. If I tell a rock that God told me to tell you to produce water, and the rock emits the water, so that would be, from God's perspective, a great teaching moment. right? What's the teaching moment? Look, even a rock listens. You have more intelligence than a rock. You, the Jewish people, certainly should listen. If even a rock listens to do something impossible, like produce water, certainly you, Jewish people, should listen to produce or to do what God wants when you're being told. So that's why God wanted Moses to talk to the rock and produce water. It would be a teaching moment, a pedagogical moment, a mode of instruction. Follow the lead of the rock. The rock is spoken to. It's given the word of God, and the rock produces. You do the same thing. Okay. That's what would have been the positive that came out of speaking to the rock. So why did Moses then hit the rock? Because Moses, ever the attentive and sensitive Jewish leader, Moses, the ultimate Jewish leader, he didn't want any other angle or any other force or any other argument used to indict the Jewish people. He didn't want in God's arsenal for there ever to be the argument, well, even the rock listened to me, so how come you don't? God, Moses wanted to remove that argument from God's arsenal and that point of indictment from God's arsenal. Lest God ever try to say, you should have, to the Jewish people, you should listen. You should have listened. Because back in the day, even the rock listened when I told the rock to produce water, and that was impossible, and it still listened. So how come you're not listening? And then maybe use that against the people. So in order to forestall, to preclude that from ever being kind of trotted forth as an argument against the Jewish people, Moses, in his love for the people, didn't allow it to happen. He said, you know what? Even a rock, you're going to have to hit the rock to produce. You're going to have to use force to get the rock to produce water. It's not going to happen through just mere cajoling or mere talking to. It's going to happen through a lot more effort. So don't use that against the people. This was Moses once again standing up for his people, and I forgot to mention this story of Moses passing away. Sorry, this story of Miriam passing away and Moses hitting the rock happens at the end of the 40 years. This happens at the end of that 40 years. The Torah kind of fast forwards. Nothing much happens. I can't say nothing much happens, but it's not all 40 years of traveling is not detailed story by story, dialogue by dialogue, blow for blow in the Torah and the Torah's narrative. It kind of cuts to the end, and that's when Miriam passes away. And then Moses is told to speak to the rock. He hits the rock, and God says, well, you're not going to make it in. You're going to have the same fate as this generation. But Moses acts in this story, according to this explanation, very much like he did 40 years prior after the sin of the golden calf. When God wanted to destroy the people after the sin of the golden calf, Moses said, listen, either forgive them or take me out of your Torah. And Moses, in fact, broke the tablets. Why did he break the tablets? Because the tablets held the indictment of the people. Literally, the tablets held the law that said, don't worship idols. And they worshiped idols. So Moses says, what law breaks the tablets? Now you don't have any commandments. You don't have any law. So how are you going to prosecute if you don't have any written record of the law? There was no cloud backup then. This was before cloud backup. Moses broke the only living record, or the only recorded record, I guess that's redundant, the only record of the Ten Commandments, including don't serve idols. I am the Lord your God, right? He broke that. Why did he break it? Not out of anger, according to this explanation, but out of love, out of defending the Jewish people. He said to God, you want to indict the Jewish people for their sin? What sin? I don't see a law. I just he did the same thing. God says, speak to the rock. Will not speak to the rock, because now you're going to say, even the rock listens and the people don't. So I'm not going to speak to the rock. I'm going to hit the rock, and only then it's going to produce the water. And now you can't use that as an argument. In other words, Moses falls on the sword, so to speak. Moses goes against God's commandment. God says, speak. Moses hits. Moses defies God's word. Why? In order to defend the Jewish people, not even in the moment, but for the future. So that's the second message, the power of true leadership. True leadership means it's not about you. It's not about your best interests. It's not about what's in it for you. It's about that and those whom you're serving. It's about the people who you're serving, and that's the only deal that you need to worry about. It's the only party you need to worry about, not yourself, not other parties, just those that you're serving. All right, that's the second point. And the final point that I want to mention is with regards, so after this incident, again, incidents one and two. Number one, Miriam passes away. It's at the end of the 4 years. She passes away. The well dries up. The people complain. Moses speaks to God. God says, speak to the rock. Moses hits the rock, produces the water. Okay. At this point, they have the water. It's at the end of the 40 years. And now they're making a beeline toward the land of Israel. Remember, they wandered for 40 years. They went in a bit of a circle. And now it's time to approach the promised land. And what happens? The Torah tells us they encounter the land belonging to the nation called Edom. Now, you should know, who is Edom? Edom is the mishpacha, the family of Esav. Who was Esav or Esau? He was the twin brother of Jacob. So remember, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs. Jacob has a twin brother. It's Jacob and Esau. Esau is the older brother. Esau's family, his mishpacha, is known as the family of Edom. Why Edom? One of his either children or grandchildren was called Edom, and that became the name of the nation. The Edomites, Edom. So Edom is living in a certain piece of land that's between where the Jews are and where Israel is. They're not living in Israel, but they're living in a land that's on the way toward Israel. So the Jewish people send representatives to the Edomite government, the Edomite authorities, and they ask look, we're not coming for any war. We're not coming to fight. We don't mean any harm. All we want to do is through your land. In fact, you can have our tourist money. If you're selling keychains, we'll buy some. If you have bottled water, we'll buy some, right? No worries. We're going to help the economy. We're not coming for harm. All we're doing is we're looking to pass through. We're going to walk through. If you have a few million people, why not? Edom comes back. The messengers to Edom. The reply that came back was, no way. It was a big old nope. You are not coming into the land. You're not going even through our land, even on the highway. You're not through. We don't let you. And in fact, if you try to come through, we're going to go to war against you. So what happens? The Jewish people need to go into the land of Israel. And this is on the way. But this nation, Edom, by the way, and they're cousins, right? They're cousins, right? Twin brothers. And these are their respective families. So they're cousins with Edom. The Jews and the Edomites are mishpacha, our family. And they're saying, no, you can't come in. What do the Jews do? The Torah says, all right. So they went around them. So they say, all right, you don't want to let us go through? We're going to go around. And I love that story because it tells us we don't need to fight every fight. We don't need to, you know, not everything means a provocation. It means war. Not everything do you have to, you know, take whatever, you know, take it so personally and fight to defend yourself or defend your honor or whatever. Fine, they don't want to let you in, so you don't go in. That's it, you go around. It'll take a little longer, fine. But who needs another war? Who needs another battle? Anyway, they know that going into Israel, they have any battles along the way, right? I mean, or once they arrive in the land, there's people living there already in the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. There's seven nations, so there's going to be a lot of battles along in that journey, in that context. So they chose to go around. And again, the message in life is pick your battles. You don't have to go fight for everything. Not everything is a war. Mindfully, deliberately, you can intentionally choose what it is that's like a non-negotiable, like I must fight this fight, but other things you can go around. So in conclusion, we have a few lessons today. I'm keeping it a little bit short just due to the context of my travel. So we'll keep it short today. 3 points, three takeaways. Number one, Miriam passes away, the water dries up and the people start fighting. So first message is, when a loved one passes away, it's a time to come together. It's not a time to fight. So fighting is the wrong thing to do. It's not time, no time for fights. Let's come together. Let's band together. Let's help each other out. Let's make a plan. Let's make it work. So you don't have water. All right, so come up with a plan. Figure it out. But the first thing you do, you don't even mourn. The Torah doesn't tell us any mourning. It doesn't say that they cried, they wept, they mourned, you know, they stopped traveling for a few days. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The first thing is Miriam dies and they start complaining about the water that dried up. So again, take some time for all of us. May we not experience loss. But if, God forbid, we do, let us come together, mourn and respect our loved one who passed away, and act with dignity and with love, and not the opposite. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is the power of leadership and the dedication that Moses had to his people. That he could have spoken to the rock to produce the water, but he specifically hit the rock so that God could never use this against the Jewish people and say, even the rock listened. How come you don't listen? Moses, ever the attentive leader, sniffs, he smells, he realizes that God will use that. He says, no, I'm not going to use this because I'm going to hit the rock. Moses takes one for the team. He takes one for his people. And that's a message for us. Whoever we're in charge of, maybe we're in charge of ourselves. We're for sure in charge of ourselves. But if others are looking toward us or rely on us, let's be there for them. Let's not put our own interests in front of theirs. All right. And the final point was, not every battle needs to be fought. Sometimes it's okay to take a deep breath and to say, I understand you, I hear you, and I respect your wishes, and I'm going to go around your land. I'm not going to go through. We're not going to provoke a fight. Not going to stop you. Not going to fight a battle. Not going to start a war over this. Choose your battles. Choose wisely. All right. That's all I have for today. Hope you enjoyed. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Where will I be? I should be back. I should be back by tomorrow, 12 o'clock. But it's great seeing you all. I can't look down at my phone too much. I can just do a quick glance. Not even that, because I want to be safe. Thank you very much. I wish you all a wonderful day, an inspiring day, and a day with no battles and no loss and lots of water. That's the main thing. Stay hydrated. It's getting warm outside.
Cheers.
Anyway, that's the Florida talking. L'chaim. All right. We'll see
safe
you guys.
Travel. Yeah, take care. Bye.
Thank you. Wonderful day. Take care. Bye, all.